Brand new year, 2016. I don't know about you, but I'll continue to write 2015 for about 3 months when I date things from now. But this is the time of year when, in a fit of optimism, we write out New Year's resolutions that most of the time we fail to keep by the first week of February. So let's be honest now. How many here have made New Year's resolutions? Nobody? Two, maybe? Hey, Rick, could you turn this up just a little bit? Like, is that better back there? Okay. Okay. So how many of you said, this year I'm determined it's going to be different? Anyone? Okay, what would you say if I want you to forget about your New Year's resolutions? I want you just to throw them out. I have something better for you today. I have something better for the rest of your life. You see, it's time to turn away from man-made resolutions and turn to a God-made revival. And that was the purpose of that last song. You know, resolutions, we look at ourselves and we look at our lives and say, you know, I did this wrong last year. So by my own sheer will, or maybe with prayer to God, I'm going to try to change that one thing in my life. I want to do this better next year. I don't know if it's lose weight, if it's exercise more, be friendlier, be better with your money, whatever it is. You're focused inward. And I want to offer you today a way to focus outward. And that's revival instead of resolutions, excuse me. You see, with revival, we realize that God has already established all the rules that we need for our life. He's already established the ways for us to get there. And sometimes we try to follow these rules and we do it out of our weakness because we forget to turn to God first. We have to change our focus away from ourselves and into the Word of God and allow Him to draw us forward to change us in this coming year, and not just 2016, but change us for the rest of the days we're here on this earth. So we walk with Him instead of walking with the world. We have a brand new year, and as men and women, as humans, we like to set a starting point. You know how that is? I'm going to start my diet Monday morning, but on Saturday and Sunday, I'm going to feast and be merry. We want to set a starting point to achieve something in our lives. So I'm going to establish a starting point today. This is the day we need to start making changes. This is the moment we need to start making changes. We have a blank slate from this moment forward, all of us. If you choose to do something with it, that's great, but it's your choice what you do from this moment going forward. Now, the most important thing in our life, bar none, is our relationship with God. Where do you stand here this morning? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Maybe you don't know Him yet, but I'm going to come back to that later on. The Old and New Testament tells us that God makes us these promises, but they come with conditions. God says, I will do this if you will do this. He wants us to change. He wants us to grow. I have four things I want you to commit yourself to this year, starting right now with this blank slate. And the first one is to commit yourself to forget your failures. I want to look at Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. This is out of New King James. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. This advice has stood the test of time. This comes from Paul. God is here and we serve God so we're not imprisoned by our past. What happened in the past is over. We can't go back and change it. And I believe probably all of us in this room have failed in some way or another in the past year. Things we didn't quite accomplish. Things we would like to do a little better. Maybe a mistake we made. We just pray for a do-over. Well, we don't get that do-over. We have painful memories. Maybe we lost a loved one and we could say, well, if I could have just went and spent more time. Those are regrets. Those can't be changed. But we need to turn away from them. Maybe you failed your children in some way, or we failed our parents in some way. Again, those are regrets. Maybe we failed ourselves. We've set a goal, and we haven't yet achieved it. But we have to forgive ourselves. We can't be bogged down by our past failures. Satan loves that. He loves us to say, well, why try? I've already failed once. What's the sense in trying it again? But we have to put that behind us. And I think the start of the new year is a good place to accept that challenge. I want you all to say to yourselves, I'm going to, with the help of God, this year, forget my past. There's things in my past I wish nobody would remember. But it's there and there's nothing I can do about it. I want you to say, this year, I'm going to stop torturing myself for those things that have happened. And I'm going to forgive myself and move forward. You see, Jesus died on the cross for forgiveness of sins. And we become Christians, that forgiveness should become a reality in our life. When we receive Christ's forgiveness, it allows us to forgive ourselves. And who are we to question the forgiveness of Christ? So ask yourself, right here this morning with this blank slate, do you need to forgive yourself for something that's happened in this past year? Next thing, I want you to commit to yourself to give up your grudges. Colossians 3:13 says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Did you catch that challenge? It's a clean slate. It's time to put some things behind you, some grudges you have against your fellow man. God's challenging you directly and personally to give up your grudges. Maybe you don't want to, but God has forgiven us, and He commands us to forgive others. So what is a grudge? It's a deep resentment that you hold against someone else. Sometimes we cultivate it in our heart and just make it burn brighter because we don't want to forgive them. We want to hold on to that because actually we think that gives us power over a person, but it doesn't. To hold a grudge is hurting yourself because you're hurting relationship with Jesus Christ because God says forgive. Grudges destroy marriages. They destroy families. They destroy friendships. And whether we want to admit it or not, grudges destroy churches. You have little factions rise up against each other. They don't like the way things are being done. Well, maybe they come back together and move forward, but they never truly forgive that grudge they hold for not getting their own way. We have a clean slate this year. It's time to forgive those grudges. God isn't asking us to ignore what has happened. He isn't asking us to pretend that it never happened. He doesn't want you to condone it. Because sometimes it's not a good thing. It's a bad thing. But it's the part about the grudge. He wants you to forgive the grievance. It means to acknowledge the wrong. Acknowledge that you were hurt. maybe acknowledge that you hurt someone else and make amends for that hurt. You know, I know people my own age that hold grudges against their parents for things that happened back when we were in school or when we were growing up. It's time to give that up. That interferes with your relationship to God and to your families. It's time to forgive our children, for sometimes they put us through hard times. But you can't hold a grudge. It's time to forgive. It's time to forgive that person at work that you're holding a grudge against for what they did or didn't do. Maybe you have a grudge that started with an argument from someone. It's time to give that up. Christ suffered the pain on the cross so you could be forgiven. Move forward in 2016 and forgive those you hold a grudge against. Number three follows along with that one. Commit to yourself to restore your relationships. The Lord issues us a challenge in Romans 12:8. He said, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. This is hard. There are some people I don't want to be at peace with. But it says in God's word to live peaceable with all men. I struggle with the fact that there's things I'm subjected to every day, whether it be over the TV, talking to someone, things that I don't want to hear, people I don't want to be peaceable with. But God doesn't give me an option. He doesn't give me a choice. I was talking to Pastor Darren today about some of the commercials and some of the shows that are on TV that, hey, frankly, they embarrass me to even hear them. And I don't want to be at peace with the people that put them on, the people that spew that filth out into my house. But God doesn't say, if it is possible, live peaceably with the men you choose to. I have to live at peace. We have to live at peace because we're the shining example of Jesus Christ, or we're supposed to be. We don't have to agree, but we can't hate. We have to live a life that allows them to see Jesus Christ at work. There's a writer, Keith Drury, and I always liked this in one of his books. He touched on the subject of restoring relationships. Now, this is a relationship that maybe you fractured within your family, between husband and wife, or between friends or church members. He says, restitution deals more with more than property. It is also going back and making things right for the hurtful things I've said or done. It's far easier for me to tell you some story than to tell you of the difficult and painful times I've had to ask my wife, my boys, my boss, friends, and the secretary to forgive me. Restitution is asking forgiveness for harsh words, a quick tongue, or cutting remarks. It is asking forgiveness from a brother you hurt, a mother you caused heartache to, or a former spouse which you maligned. Restitution is confessing and seeking forgiveness from an old business partner, a neighbor, or a roommate. It is admitting my past errors in relationships and humbly seeking forgiveness from the ones I've hurt. And it's harder to make personal restitution than property restitution. It'd be hard for some of us to do, but to go back and ask forgiveness, say, I'm sorry. But even wiser than that, as we walk with God, is to watch what we say. But if we do offend someone, we offend our wife, our children, our coworkers, right then is the time to say, I'm sorry. Ask their forgiveness and move forward with a relationship that never gets fractured in the first place, to move on. So I have a question today. Will you rise to that challenge? Will you go to someone that you have a fractured relationship with and ask forgiveness, to apologize. Not an easy way to start 2016. But it will also help you restore a relationship with Jesus Christ. Number four, commit yourself to turn your back on your sins, on your transgressions against Christ. You know, they say that after the Civil War, when the slaves were freed, a lot of them stayed on the plantations. They didn't move forward. They didn't move away. But they continued to stay and live there and work there like they were still slaves, still under the reign of their masters. And the New Testament tells me that's exactly how a lot of Christians choose to live their lives today. You see, Christ died to set us free. The Holy Spirit has given us the power to move on and start a new life. And yet there's so many Christians, just like those former slaves, they stay right in their sin life and they don't change, they don't move along. They obey their old master, sin. Romans 6:2 says, "Certainly not. How shall we who die to sin live any longer in it?" God tells us, don't let sin control the way we live our lives. It's time to get free of that yoke. It's time to claim the power of the Holy Spirit and make those changes. The challenge today is to turn your back on those transgressions. Christian writers talk about something called besetting sins. Now, you know, when you become a Christian, there's some sins that you can give up easily. You can turn your back and walk away. As they say, you see the light of Christ. But there's those other sins in your life that, for lack of a better word, that you cherish, that you want to hold on to, that you don't want to turn your back on. Those are the hard sins. Those are the besetting sins. Because even like a New Year's resolution, you say, I'm going to stop doing that. Well, weeks later, days later, or even hours later, there you are. You're doing it again. Because you try to do it on your own strength. You don't turn to God. 2016 is a time to say, I'm not going to let that sin overtake me any longer. I'm going to have revival in my life. My relationship with God is going to get stronger. And I'm going to be the overcomer. Your spiritual life is crippled when you give in to these sins. God can't look on sin, but He loves us, and He waits for us. I don't need to list all the sins that could be in your life, but I think if you pray and you ask God, He'll reveal those things that He wants changed and the things that He wants changed now. So God challenges us to turn our back on our sin, whatever it is. Stop letting it control the way you live your life. Jesus' death broke the power of sin. The Holy Spirit gave us the power we need to resist. I'm looking for this year not to be just one year, but a new era in each and one of us, our lives. Now let's get back to your relationship with Christ. Maybe some of you here don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Well, I'm going to tell you that today is the day to accept Christ as Lord. Don't put it off any longer. Maybe you don't understand exactly what I'm talking about in these verses or in this message about what God offers to us, His peace and the joy that comes from Him. And I would love to talk to you about those things. Pastor Darren, any of the deacons, if you have questions, we would love to answer those questions and help you understand. But now, Christians, where is your heart today? Today is the day to decide what you truly believe. Have you just said the words? Have you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? Has your heart been opened up to the Word of God? Can you look back on your life and see changes that have been made since you accepted Christ? Or has your life gone on mostly the same as it was? Maybe a few little things have changed, but not a lot. So how do you measure your life? You know, it's funny how our Bible studies all merge together. Our Wednesday night overlaps with Sunday. It overlaps with Sunday school. Well, last Sunday night, we learned what a cannon was. Not the kind you load and fire. Cannon means a reed or a measuring stick. It means a rule of faith. This is a cannon. This is our measuring stick for Christians, or it should be. Hopefully, you get your measuring stick out every day and you measure your life with it. You read it. Not just to say, God, I opened a book, I read a passage out of the New Testament, and I read a passage out of the Old Testament. I've done my duty for today. Now, there's two measuring sticks in everyone's life. This should be yours. But if it's not, then you're measuring life, your life against the world and what it has to offer. You need to ask yourself today, what do I believe? Do I believe God's promises? Or do I reach out for the world? Can God really do what he says he can do? God's word said he'll bring us peace. He'll bring us joy. He'll bring us happiness. Do you believe that? Or are they just words? And we hear them, we read them, but then we turn to the world and look for our happiness and for our joy. Happiness doesn't come from the world, from our possessions. Relationships in the world are short-lived. So we need to tell, we need to look. What are we measuring our relationships against? Are they measured against the Bible and what it says? Or do we look at Hollywood and let them tell us what our relationships should be? It was funny, I was talking to Darren about situation comedies. You know, it used to be on TV, any problem could be solved in 30 minutes. You always had a husband and a wife and probably two kids and a dog or a cat. It's not like that on TV anymore. There's every stereotype you can think of. So how do you judge your family life? Against what Hollywood says? Or do you judge a family against this measuring stick? What God says a family should be? What about your wealth? What's that judged against? Is it judged against what the guy next door has? Or the people down the street? Or is your wealth judged what God says it should be? And that's spiritual, not material. Christians, you need to decide today if you want a revival in your life or you want to go on living like you are. I'm not saying anyone here is living a bad life or they're not happy. I'm just saying you can have so much more if you change your focus from the world to the spiritual. Peace comes from knowing that God is in control and having the faith to walk in that. It all boils down to what you truly believe today. Is your life going to be better trusting in God and accepting what he has to offer? Or do you believe your life is better with the things that the world has to offer? And that's what's going to decide whether you have a revival in your life this year. So will this new year just be a changing of the calendar page? Or is it going to be a life-changing event that carries you the rest of your days here on earth? Are you willing to make four commitments going into 2016? Will you commit yourself to forget your failures, to forgive yourself and forget all about the past? Will you commit yourself to give up your grudges and forgive everyone that's hurt you? What about your relationships? Can you commit to restore relationships? Will you be the first to go and say, I'm sorry? It's time to heal. And what about your transgressions? Can you commit to reach out to God and say, Lord, I'm weak. I need your help. I want to change. Ask God's forgiveness, and you no longer will be a slave to your sins. Let's all stand together. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that it's easy, because we are changing a lifetime of habits. Maybe we're trying to get a spark going again that we once had. We followed into a lethargic lifestyle. We just seem to move along. Yeah, we attend church. We attend Bible studies. We do the special events at the church. But do you feel them in your heart? Can you feel God tugging you forward? Can you feel God trying to change you this morning? I have two more scriptures for you, two verses to help you. And I believe if we can get these right, everything else is going to fall into place. And we'll be that people that God wants us to be. This is in Mark 12, verses 30 and 31. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Is it possible to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might? I believe it is. But we have to make a commitment to do that every day. The first thing you should do every morning is turn to God. Pray for the strength that you're going to need for that day. You know, if you love someone, truly love someone, you don't ever want to be apart. You want to be close. You want to know where they are. You want to know what they're doing. You miss them. And that should be a relationship with God. You know, God's a spirit. But we can have a relationship in the spirit with God. He can be on our mind constantly, no matter where we're at, if we're at work, if we're at home. We're talking to our family. God should be there. That'll stop those broken relationships. It'll stop us from slipping back into those sins that we shouldn't be in. It'll focus our eyes on Him. Now, what about the second part? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Can anyone hate themselves? No, you can't. Not if you practice those four commitments to forgive yourself of your sins, to restore relationships, to reach out, to make a commitment to change. If we can get these two things right, then revival will be in our lives. And it's a funny thing about revival. When a revival starts, it's like a rock in a pond. The ripples are sent out. And that can happen here for each of us, for our community. Let's all bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for what you offer us. Father, you gave us a measuring stick. You gave us a rule book on how to live our lives. And I pray this morning as we go into this new year, a new page on the calendar, Father, that will take seriously these commitments. The way you want us to treat each other, the way you want us to worship you. All that you offer us has always been there, Father. But our eyes have been blinded by the world. Maybe the tiredness of this life drags us down. I turn to you this morning, Father. I just ask for that revival fire, that fresh spark of our spirit, the renewing that comes from gathering close to you. Father, I pray for all these people, for their families, Father, their households, that you will speak to their hearts. If there's one here that doesn't know you, I just ask that you would urge them forward. Father, we go into this time of invitation, it is yours. Speak to the hearts, Father, and I just pray everyone to respond. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.